Rangers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're almost at the start of the team's offseason program. It's appropriate. The title of today's episode is On Your Marks, Get Set, Go, to mark the occasion of the start of the team's offseason program, technically tomorrow. I believe other teams are starting theirs today, but Packers starting theirs tomorrow. That means players traveling to Green Bay today. It's not to say these guys haven't been working out. Many of them have been working out rather hard in the past few weeks in preparation with the team's offseason program about to begin, just working out on their own, wherever they make their offseason homes. It's with the start of tomorrow's program that they all come together under the same roof, work out together back at 1265 Lombardi Avenue inside Lambeau Field, or at the Don Hutson Center. I think most things probably, at least to start with, take place inside Lambeau Field. They're not needing the whole Hutson Center facility to work out, or at least I assume they don't a whole lot, at least to begin with. Also appropriate, today's title of today's episode, On Your Marks, Get Set, Go, with today being Patriots Day, which means it is the Boston Marathon, the 118th edition and the one-year anniversary of last year's bombing at the Boston Marathon. And we laid it out in this morning's Packers calendar. Former Packers offensive lineman Joe Andruzzi organizing his group of runners, raising money for charity. Real good, feel-good story from the Boston Marathon. Joe Andruzzi played with the Packers. He entered the NFL with the Packers way back in 1997, I think, was his rookie year. Played with the Packers for three seasons. Eventually went on and joined the New England Patriots, where he won a couple Super Bowls. That's where he continues to make his home, out in New England out there. But one of the enduring images of last year's Boston Marathon is Joe Andruzzi carrying an injured woman to an ambulance after the bombing last year. Joe Andruzzi, this has been happening for a couple years. He organizes this group of runners that raise money for his namesake charity, the Joe Andruzzi Foundation. The Joe Andruzzi Upbeat Cancer Foundation. They raise money for cancer patients and cancer research. Joe Andruzzi himself had been diagnosed with leukemia. He's recovered from that. I know he's gone through treatment. It's just so unique, I think. It's such a good story about him, you know, doing this all for charity, helping out these runners, organizing them. He hosts a post-race watching party locally for them. Just a neat, neat story. And, of course, him selflessly last year, you know, one of the stories coming out of the bombing that he was out there to help, to help injured runners after the bombing took place, and what a tragedy that was. So a unique experience today, the one-year anniversary, the Boston Marathon, including like more than 9,000 runners than they typically do, kind of in celebration of this event, to put last year's tragedy behind everyone, kind of make it a little more special than normal, I guess. And I think it's going on as we speak here. It starts. I know television coverage started at 7:30 a.m. They have different start times for the, you know, wheelchairs and men's and women's races and whatever. If you're listening to the show live, broadcasted on livestream or cheeseheadtv.com. It's getting underway right now. Of course, a marathon takes several hours to finish, so I know television coverage continues till about 12 o'clock p.m. on the Universal Sports Network if you're interested in watching. But, you know, getting back to the off-season program, though, I asked on Twitter before the show, which player are you most excited to see begin the Packers off-season program? And thank you to anybody who answered on Twitter. And by all means, those of you listening to the live edition of the show, feel free to throw out your answers on social media, on our live blog. Who are you most excited to see take part in the Packers off-season program? I got lots of good answers, a lot of different ones too, ranging from Julius Peppers, the brand new addition to the Packers program, the Packers team this year, who they signed probably a little over a month ago now in free agency. Or I asked, are you interested in seeing an injured player come back? And some people answered Casey Hayward, who's coming off his hamstring injury, barely played last year, ended up playing, you know, what, two games and didn't make much of an impact. A lot of people saying last year's first-round draft choice, Daytone Jones, wanting to see how much of a step he'll make. Same thing goes for, I saw one person say, David Bakhtiari, again, entering his second season in the NFL, hoping he'll take a big step. And pardon me, I closed my Twitter as the show started today here at Railbird Central. I can't cite you who gave each of these answers, but thank you for doing so on social media. But off-season program starts tomorrow. If I had to say who I'm excited to see take part in the program, it would have to be Julius Peppers, to see what the Packers are doing differently this year. How is he getting ready? How is he taking part in the program? How are they using him? Is he standing up? Is he in a three-point stance? I want to see all these things kind of take place at the off-season program. It's unfortunate we can't see everything take place. I mean, you know, the off-season program starts. It begins with strength and conditioning and those kind of things. Eventually, we get to OTAs and minicamp, and we start to see things then, how, you know, the Packers might start to implement their schemes and how players will be used and things like that. So it's going to take a while, but I'm interested to see how it all plays out, how it all develops with Julius Peppers and how they use him in the Packers defense. I think no doubt about it, there's going to be differences this year for the Packers and Dom Capers, defensive coordinator Dom Capers. I think it could be a make-or-break type of year for Dom Capers. I think there's you know, maybe not in so many words, but there's almost an ultimatum taking place, I think, that, you know, for Dom Capers, you better adapt and change things this year. I don't think the Packers invested, you know, what did they give Julius Peppers? Some sort of signing bonus worth $7.5 million? I forget off the top of my head. I should have looked that up before the show started today. Millions and millions of dollars. I don't think the Packers paid Julius Peppers millions and millions of dollars to run the same old schemes they have in years past. I think that's safe to say, is it not? You know, I don't think they're paying him millions of dollars to be the same old, play the same role Clay Matthews has played for the past several years as an outside linebacker. They talk about this elephant defensive end role, and I don't know how exactly that's all going to play out. I can't get inside the mind of Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy, but I am definitely interested in seeing what they have in store and how they utilize him. Again, two-point stance, three-point stance, rushing the passer, dropping into coverage, all these kind of things. And again, I mean, I don't see Julius Peppers dropping into coverage often by any means, but to see how they utilize their zone schemes and zone blitzes, and even if it's dropping into coverage once in a while, even if it's just, you know, catching offenses off guard, things like that, I find those kind of things exciting. So I'm excited to see how Julius Peppers is used, and I might use that to transition here or bring up a point. Both two articles in the media just recently, yesterday, today, published by Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com and Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette at PackersNews.com. You can go check these articles out online. The Packers blog over at ESPN.com. But both, you know, basically the same general idea, both published yesterday and today, checking out the Packers' workout bonuses and the values of them, the Packers beat writers looking into this. And as I know Domofsky notes here, the Green Bay Packers have the highest payout on workout bonuses in the NFL, or highest potential payout if players take part in the workout, and you know they have to actually be there to earn the money. So that's why we talk about potential of earning this money. But you know, the Packers do this to get players to come into Green Bay. That's why they pay a high amount of workout bonuses. They want players to earn this money. They want them to come and work out. As you know, I mean, springtime in Green Bay, while it can be nice, it's certainly not as nice as springtime in Florida, springtime in San Diego, springtime in Texas, down in the southern portion of the United States, where there is much warmer temperatures. It can certainly be nice on particular days, springtime in Wisconsin, but not always. So the Packers, in order to get them to take part in the program, they offer these workout bonuses, sometimes rather high dollar amounts, as an incentive to get them to come take part in the off-season workout program. It is technically voluntary, as the collective bargaining agreement of the NFL states in very clear language. No player can be forced to take part in the NFL's off-season workout program. We talked about that last week on the show here a little bit. I kind of disagree that it should be more mandatory than it is. Technically, the only part that's mandatory is mini camp. And again, we're talking about 3 days of practice for mini camp. That's the only time players have to be in Green Bay during the offseason. And if they don't, they're fine. They lose money. The Packers incentivize it. They pay bonuses upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And three Packers players all have the highest workout bonuses, tied for the highest with $500,000 per season. And you can probably guess who they are. Three of the highest paid players on the team: quarterback Aaron Rodgers, outside linebacker Clay Matthews, and cornerback Sam Shields. All three of them, $500,000 in workout bonuses. All they got to do is come to Green Bay, take part in the off-season program. But I mean, they do this for almost all of the players under contract, who have, you know, reached their second contract in the NFL. These veteran players who they want to come and work out, and they really want to build a sense of camaraderie. They want the entire team there as much as possible. because they don't want guys, you know, working out on their own and not feeling like they're a part of the team and not really, you know, getting ready for the season. They want everybody together under one roof. And so they could start implementing schemes and getting everybody on the same page early in the off season. And you could see how advantageous that would be, you know, whereas if guys were staying in their hometowns or whatever, away from Green Bay working out. So they give them hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not everybody, but, you know, some of the higher paid players on the team get hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even the guys who, you know, don't have any bonuses worked into their contract, they still get, I don't know what the term is, a stipend. They get something like $100-some-odd a day. I know Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette points that out in his article. That they, you know, they do get paid for being there, although it's not a lot. But I mean, heck, who wouldn't want to work out for $100 a day, you know, when, you know, the first few weeks of the off-season program, the first 2 weeks, strictly strength and conditioning. That's all they're doing, just lifting weights, running, things like that. They're not even working out with the football and throwing the ball around or anything like that. You know, it's done in piecemeal. They start with strength and conditioning, then they start doing small group individual workouts, get into team workouts, you know, 11-on-11, 7-on-7, things like that. Eventually, when you're getting to the OTAs and minicamp portion of the off-season program. But, yeah, I mean, you know, just throwing out a few numbers here of others who receive, you know, bonuses and workout money and that kind of thing. Josh Sitton gets $300,000. So does Tremont Williams and Morgan Burnett. Again, some of the highest paid players on the team. A.J. Hawk, Jordy Nelson both get $250,000 for, you know, and again, this is if they take part in the entire offseason program and, you know, 98-99% of the players do. So very likely to be earned. Mike Neal, Brad Jones, TJ Lang each get $200,000. Again, just to give you an idea of what these players are making. And maybe again here to transition back to the Julius Peppers discussion here. Kudos, good work to Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Go check his article out. He notes the very last paragraph of his article. He talks about Peppers and how he is one player the Packers did not negotiate a workout bonus. Here's from Hodquitz, quote, "One unknown could be 34-year-old veteran Julius Peppers, who didn't have a workout bonus negotiated into the first of the three-year deal he signed with the Packers in March, though he has a $500,000 provision worked into his contract if he's on the roster in 2015 and 2016. End quote. I don't know. Does that mean Peppers will not be taking part in the team's offseason program because he's 34 years old and he's a veteran and he doesn't want to? Or maybe it's just because they gave him such a high signing bonus that he really doesn't need a workout bonus on top of it. And that could maybe more likely be the case. I would definitely be very disappointed if Julius Peppers does not take part in the team's off-season program this year. Would be highly disappointed. You know, they spend all this money. He should be there, you know, getting things, getting used to his new teammates and learning the Packers' new systems and what they have in store for this year. But, you know, worrying about if he is or he isn't, I guess we got to wait for the offseason program to begin before we decide that. I think he'll be there. But you know, talking about some of these other, you know, I got all these answers on Twitter. Who are you excited to see work out this year? And John on the live blog throws out the name J.C. Treader.
and pretty much the center position in general, he mentions. And I get that, definitely. I can see how you're excited to see J.C. Tretter because you didn't see him last year at all. Talking about the offseason program, J.C. Tretter goes in and breaks his ankle on the first day of OTA workouts last year. Very first day, breaks his ankle. You didn't get to see him work out at all in a practice environment, whether it's OTAs, mini camp, training camp, whatever, in a game. You didn't get to see J.C. Tretter, and now all of a sudden he's kind of his name is being thrown in the mix as being the Packers starter at center this upcoming season. A guy who never even played a down last year, let alone hardly practice, came back at the end of last year and practiced a little bit, you know, in the November, December time frame, but that was about all he got. But yeah, I mean, the center position, it's up for grabs. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, who's going to win the job, who's going to, you know, give competition to J.C. Tretter, whether it's Don Barclay, T.J. Lang, whether it's, you know, a rookie the Packers draft, whether it's a free agent they may or may not sign. We'll see how it all plays out, no doubt about it. Yeah, I'm excited to see how the center position plays out as well. Some of the others, you know, answers I got, who you excited to see. Answers for guys coming off of injury. Briefly mentioned, Casey Hayward last year had the hamstring injury. And again, I mean, talk about training and workouts and whatever. You'll remember how the hamstring injury came about. Casey Hayward was working out on his own like days before the Packers training camp was about to begin, just working out on his own. I think he was at his hometown in Georgia or something like that, strains his hamstring and ends up impacting him the entire year. You know, he tries coming back at, you know, later in training camp, weeks later, what probably came back too soon. And strains it again, or whatever he did, pulls it, and just never was the same player. They eventually have to put him on injured reserve, ending his year, because he just couldn't, you know, make it go or couldn't get it healed right. So you're hoping that, you know, he gets back to the form he was as a rookie. Casey Hayward, of course, having an amazing rookie year. Six interceptions, turnovers being so important in the game of football. You want to see him get back to that level, and hopefully the hamstring injuries are behind him. Do the Packers, you know, kind of have him come back slowly from injury? I couldn't really say for sure, but I would say maybe that would be smart to do. Here we are in April, in May, having Casey Hayward only take part in some of the things they do, maybe not all the things, or, you know, not giving full exertion or effort. I mean, that makes sense to me. He's a guy you intend to be a very important part of your defense and a guy you don't want to see get injured again or suffer a setback. I mean, certainly we have months to go till the start of the season, so if a setback does take place, well, at least the season doesn't start until September. But still, not something you want, obviously. So, do they bring him back slowly? We'll find out. He said he'll be, quote, full go. I remember listening to an interview with Casey Hayward on WDUZ the other day, radio station, 107.5 The Fan out of Green Bay. They had him on. And he said he would be full go. So we'll see what Casey Hayward does as he comes back from injury very shortly. A couple people talking about Dayton Jones and Nick Perry. The most recent first-round draft choices of the Green Bay Packers in 2012 and 2013. Obviously, they'll be adding a new one shortly if they don't trade out of the first round. But, yeah, I'm excited to see neither of these guys, Perry or Jones, have had a major impact yet on the Packers. Both of them beset by injuries, set back by injuries. Perry has the broken wrist his rookie season, has the broken heel his sophomore season. Jones has the ankle injury. You remember how that all went down? Very first snap of the very first preseason game, Dayton Jones has the ankle injury, and he does come back from it, but never was quite the same player, never was quite the guy who you expected him to be, maybe as a first-round draft choice. Now, if those guys come back and are healthy, you expect them to be a very big part of the Packers' plans on defense this year, a big part of their pass rush. And again, I mean, this goes back to talking about differences in the Packers' defensive schemes this year under Dom Capers. You know, what kind of plans do they have in store, not only for Julius Peppers, but also for Dayton Jones and Nick Perry as well? These are guys who are expected to be getting after the passer. I mean, that's what the Packers drafted them for. Guys who are going to provide a pass rush, get after the quarterback, whether it's from the interior of the offensive line for a guy like Dayton Jones or coming off the edge for a guy like Nick Perry. Both those guys kind of have different skill sets. Both kind of defensive ends in college, but, you know, Dayton Jones can rush from a defensive tackle position. Nick Perry's kind of making the transition to outside linebacker where he's standing up in a two-point stance more often than not. And not that these guys can't be utilized in different ways. And we actually saw last year Dayton Jones actually kind of lining up at linebacker a handful of times last year in a two-point stance, literally just a few snaps like that. But still, I mean, these guys are that, you know, have that sheer natural talent that if they're healthy, you can see them being able to do special things. Now they got to stay healthy though. they got to put these injury issues behind them so they can be out there on the field. And again, I sometimes wonder, and maybe it's in vain wondering this, but if the Packers are fully healthy, I mean, almost how do you get all these pass rushers on the field at the same time from Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews and Nick Perry and Dayton Jones and Mike Daniels and Mike Neal and B.J. Raji and LaTroy Guyon, who they just signed at free agency? I mean, somebody's got to sit on the bench. There's just not that many spots available on the defense unless these guys are going to play defensive back, and they're not. The Packers going to have to figure out who's going to be on the field and who's not. And, you know, I don't expect LaTroy Guyon to be a major pass rusher, but still, if all these guys are healthy, I mean, that's a good problem for the Packers to have, right? Having guys healthy and having a lot of potential pass rushers. John points out on the live blog, the psycho package. It could be really interesting to see these guys bouncing around. What gap are they going to come up? Who's going to be down in the three-point stance? Who's going to be rushing the passer? Who's going to be dropping into zone coverage? Exciting to see the possibilities. But again, let's let everybody get healthy first before we get ahead of ourselves. It's you know, tempting to think about, but I suppose this is the time of the year where they're rehabbing and getting in shape and trying to make sure they have a healthy season by stretching properly, all these kind of things they do, getting the wind back under them as they getting in shape for the regular season to come. A lot ahead of these guys yet. As they try to get ready for the 2014 season. And speaking of the 2014 season, I guess looking ahead here, I've heard rumors, and the NFL does not come out and say when they're going to release the schedule, but I think, you know, they've speculated at ProFootballTalk.com that it will be released sometime this week perhaps as early as tomorrow, the 22nd of April. And again, nothing set in stone. The NFL has not come out and set a firm date in place of when they'll release the schedule, but could be as early tomorrow, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. Regardless, we're excited to see what the schedule looks like. So maybe by the next time, the next episode of Railbird Central, when that comes around, we'll be talking about that. We'll cross our fingers. Maybe on Wednesday's episode, we'll be talking about the Packers schedule. We'll see. But that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us for the show this morning. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll see you later, folks. 8:30 a.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I leave you today with a song called Eudaimon by the Steve Kimmock Band on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.